The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The world is a complicated place. You need someone to expose the political fakers, fixers, and takers, and to cut through the mindless chatter and misdirection to help you make sense of it all. That person is Dan Proft, and this is The Dan Proft Show.
Welcome to The Dan Proft Show. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday edition. Follow us at danproftshow.com, also on social media at Dan Proft Show. Much as was made yesterday of Attorney General Barr authorizing probes into alleged voting irregularities amid the litigation emanating from the Trump campaign. But if you actually read the memo, it is certain to calibrate your expectations appropriately. Some pertinent parts of Barr's memo. Now that the voting has concluded, it's imperative the American people can trust that our elections were conducted in such a way that the outcomes accurately reflect the will of the voters. Although the states have the primary responsibility to conduct and supervise elections under our Constitution and the laws enacted by Congress, DOJ has an obligation to ensure that federal elections are conducted in such a way the American people can have full confidence in their electoral process and their government. He added, I authorize you, talking to U.S. attorneys around the country, I authorize you to pursue substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification of elections in your jurisdictions in certain cases. However, it's important to also note, furthermore, any concerns that overt actions taken by the department could inadvertently impact an election are greatly minimized, if they exist at all, once voting has concluded, even if election certification has not yet been completed. He said alleged voter fraud should only take place in quote unquote specific instances, hinting the level of apparent evidence will need to be high. He also suggested that, he wrote explicitly, while most allegations of purported election misconduct are of such a scale that they would not impact the outcome of an election, and thus investigation can appropriately be deferred, that is not always the case. So definitely qualified here. In other news on the litigation front, several Republican attorneys general joined a lawsuit challenging mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania related to the election, including Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron, who said in a statement that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's ruling allowed absentee ballots to be counted without a legible postmark and overrode unambiguous state law passed by the Pennsylvania legislature. This is something that potentially could have serious remedies if a court, a district court, and ultimately probably the Supreme Court were to agree. For a distillation of all of these issues, we're pleased to be joined again by John Yu, the Emanuel S. Heller Professor of Law at the University of California, UC Berkeley, that is, and author of Defender-in-Chief, Donald Trump's Fight for Presidential Power. Professor Yu, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Great to have you, Dan.
Well, let's start with that Pennsylvania case and that Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling that has been criticized and what the Trump campaign is now arguing in federal district court, what may rise to the level of the Supreme Court, if you think that's where it goes, and what the available remedies are were a court to agree with the Trump campaign's position.
There's two kinds of litigation going on in Pennsylvania, Dan, and I think one could change the outcome in the state, and one that I don't know if probably would. The one that I think could change things is a case that's been sitting at the U.S. Supreme Court from before Election Day. And this is the issue, the change in the Election Day from November 3rd to November 6th. And by that, I mean that the state legislature had said that all mail-in ballots had to be in by November 3rd. The state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania said, well, if we get ballots by November 6th and there's no postmark or people dropped it by November 3rd, that's okay too. Now, it's not clear how many ballots were collected in that three-day period. In Pennsylvania, Biden right now is ahead by about 45,000 votes. It's possible those ballots might have been 10,000, 20,000. It's also possible that those ballots might have been already mixed in with the existing ones that came in under the regular rules. The constitutional problem is that under the Constitution, the state legislature is given the power to set the time, place, and manner of elections. And the state Supreme Court several of the justices of the Supreme Court have already said they think might have violated that by changing the date. Now, if Biden-Trump's difference narrows through a recount and through looking at the ballots again to the point where those 3 days of ballots make a difference, then the U.S. Supreme Court could really end up calling the shot in Pennsylvania.
The other matter in Pennsylvania is this issue of curing mail-in ballots, and where some election officials in some counties allowed people who sent in mail-in ballots that would not have been counted because they were incorrectly filled out the opportunity to cure them, to fill them out correctly, and in other counties that was not allowed, creating a two-tiered system. The likelihood that a court would weigh in on the unconstitutionality of that and suggest that cured ballots be discounted.
That's a tougher one. I understand the legal claim. It's just harder to prove. So I think it's quite, if you had a case where some counties were using different standards than other counties to decide what's a valid ballot, that's a violation of Bush versus Gore from 20 years ago. That's actually one of the reasons why the Supreme Court stopped the never-ending recounts in Florida, because one county was letting in more ballots under a different standard than other counties in Florida. If that's going on in Pennsylvania, that meets the Bush versus Gore criteria. The problem is, and I think this is the problem that Trump lawyers are having, is how do you prove it? You know, you need to have witnesses. You need to have statements. It would be great if you could show ballots themselves where this had happened. That's a tough case to make out. And so we have to wait and see, I think, what the Bush attorneys are going to, I'm sorry, still living in the in 2000, what the trauma.
Still scarred from that trauma. Yeah, right. Now, by the way, since you are, you're a Pennsylvania native, but you vote in California now?
Yeah, I truly have a wasted vote.
Yes, I know the feeling in Illinois.
Wasted ballot.
what about the litigation in the other states? I mean, in some of the states, the same issue is implicated, but you also have the additional questions about major ballot dumps in the early hours on Wednesday morning in places like Milwaukee County, as well as Philadelphia. You have the computer glitches in Antrim County, Michigan, as well as in Georgia. From what you've read and seen of the complaints that have been filed, do any of those present promise for a substantial remedy that, again, would change the trajectory of the outcome?
I haven't seen it yet. I mean, this is part of why we have litigation is, you know, the Trump campaign has an opportunity now to put on its proof. There'll be hearings in all of these states, and the Trump campaign, ideally what they would do is produce people who worked in these election, these county election boards who were participating in the count or saw our witnesses who saw these kinds of allegations take place. So we haven't seen it yet. And so that's why I think it's hard to see those making. I would tend to think, if I were the Trump campaign, the better places to focus on would be Georgia, where the difference is still quite tight and there's going to be recount and there are overseas ballots to be counted and they can redo that. And then I guess Arizona, where it's also tight. These are, I think Georgia's, let me look, 12,000.
Yeah, 12,000. Arizona, 15,000. Wisconsin, 20,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So these are places, I think, where, look, President Trump has the right to ask for recounts. He has the right to make sure that all the valid ballots were counted and there weren't any invalid ones that were thrown into the mix. But I haven't seen the evidence yet. And that's why I'm a little bit skeptical of these other cases other than the one we talked about before, the one that's going to the U.S. Supreme Court out of Pennsylvania.
That one going back to Pennsylvania, the likelihood that, number one, you know, sort of realpolitik plays a role in the judge's decision. The justices' decisions, meaning we're not going to eliminate the ballots that were received after Election Day in Pennsylvania, even though we disagree with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's ruling, because it doesn't change the outcome, because we haven't seen these other states flip. Even if Trump wins Pennsylvania, he doesn't change the election outcome. So we're not going to do it. It's not a great legal argument, but is that sort of practicality something that does enter the mind of the justices?
Well, I think it enters the mind of a single justice, Chief Justice John Roberts
in
particular.
Right.
Look, the best thing to have done, the Supreme Court to have done this, is to take this case before the election and make clear that the rules were the rules and that you can't, state courts can't go around changing the dates when election ballots are due. It's confusing to the voters. And they had time to do it. And for the justices, one of them to do it. But you need five justices to take a case because there's nine justices. You need a majority. And Chief Justice John, this is during the period before Amy Coney Barrett joined the court. So Chief Justice John Roberts voted not to hear the case. And I think he thinks exactly, unfortunately, the way you described, Dan. I think he was hoping it wouldn't be a close election, that no one would end up caring about the differences in Pennsylvania or some of these other states, and no one would care about the Supreme Court. You know, if there had been a clear election outcome, you know, decisive one, which it wasn't, but if it had been decisive, then you wouldn't need to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
If the court were to take this up and rule in favor of the Trump campaign, I mean, what do you think is the least intrusive remedy they would mandate? Is it discounting those ballots? Is it having another election? I mean, we've seen that happen at the congressional level in recent past in North Carolina. What do you think?
I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court would call for another election on this case. I think what they would do is say any ballots that came in after the end of the election day on November 3rd are not to be counted.
Mm-hmm. He is John Yoo. He's Emmanuel S. Heller Professor of Law at the University of California, Berkeley, author of Defender-in-Chief, Donald Trump's Fight for Presidential Power. Professor Yoo, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
Exposing political fakers, fixers, and takers. He's Dan Proft, and this is The Dan Proft Show.